Good morning, everyone. Commission members, staff, ladies and gentlemen, the Planning Commission is now in session. There's a few rules and procedures we'd like you to follow in today's hearing. Everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your time to speak, please come to the podium, state your name and address clearly for the record. Those in support of the application will be heard first, followed by those opposed. After that, the applicant will be given time for rebuttal, and if necessary, one opposed will be given the opportunity to surrebut. We ask that you limit your presentations to 5 minutes or less. This should be more than enough time for a well-organized presentation. The chair reserves the right to limit testimony, will exercise that right in the interest of others who have business before the commission. After all the speakers have been heard, the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments from the public will not be allowed unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make and then vote on motions to reach a decision. If you are not satisfied with today's decision, you may be able to appeal it to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time after today's hearing, and you can check with staff for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. At this time, Commissioner Hill, will you lead us in the flag salute?
Would you please stand for the flag salute? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Borchardt?
Here.
Commissioner Carver is absent. Commissioner Chata?
Here.
Commissioner Quist?
Here.
Commissioner Wieland?
Here.
Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Here.
Okay, the first item on the agenda, there are no consent agenda items for this hearing, so the first item would be public presentations. This portion is reserved for persons desiring to address the commission on matters within our jurisdiction, but not on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to address the commission at this time? Seeing none, we'll go to item number two.
Regular agenda item number two, amendment application number 3869 and environmental review number 8595, filed by Conjarits Bath, proposing to rezone to change the zoning of a 38.93 acre parcel and a 15.09 acre parcel from AL zone district to the RR5 zone district. The subject parcels are located on the south side of Reno Avenue, 0.57 miles west of the intersection of Aubrey Road, approximately 0.56 miles north of the city limits of the city of Fresno.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the Commission. My name is Elise Alvarez from Public Works and Planning. So currently the area is zoned at AL20. The two parcels are marked on the map. There is residential zoning below and then AL surrounding it. The proposal is to rezone those two mentioned parcels from AL20 to rural residential 5 acre minimum. The size of the parcels are 38.93 acres and 15.09 acres. And here are photos of the subject parcels. So the findings we found for the rezone is that is there general plan consistency, which there is, for the new updated general plan, and then is that the proposal is not detrimental to public interest, health, safety, convenience, or general welfare. We were able to find that the proposal is not. So we were able to find both of the findings. And that is it for this project. I can answer any questions you may have.
Did you receive any correspondence at all on this item?
From who?
Anyone that's not included in our packet?
No.
Okay. Are there any questions of staff?
I have a question. Yeah. Could you please tell me, I have the map of existing land map use. Where is the ingress or egress to this property? It looks like there's other properties in the front and to the side, so how are they getting into this property?
I believe it'll be off of, my lines are covering it.
Excuse me?
And my lines are covering it, but I believe off of Willow Bluff and Reno Road. But I think the lines I drew is covering it, so you'll be able to see.
You can't be for sure?
I'm not for sure.
Whether there's a deeded easement or any way of getting into that property?
Just to clarify, there is obviously frontage access existing off of Reno Road and Willow Boulevard, the extension.
Mm-hmm.
There is a recorded easement on the one to the east, but that's a private easement, and I believe the property owner has maybe a different design how he's actually going to utilize that. That'll get covered when they do the map for the area, the points of access, et cetera. Okay. But they do have access to public right-of-ways for both parcels.
Okay. So at this point, they don't, but will.
They do. They have. There is frontage on Reno Avenue and Willow.
The Reno, coming in from that road.
Okay.
I do have a question. First, I'd like to point out that Commissioner Carver did arrive for this section. On Exhibit 3, and then on Exhibit 4. On Exhibit 4, there's a number of 4 or 5 acre parcels, which I'm assuming would be the rural residential. But on Exhibit 3, it shows it as AL20. Was that changed, or how did you get so many small parcels in the AL20?
If I might. Yes, as a lot of our properties in this area, there's been original smaller zonings, and then they were upzoned to, or downzoned, depending how you look at that, to larger requirements. But most recently, as part of the general plan update, this area, the Reno Road area, do you have that map?
Yes.
Was looked at by the board, and there was a specific policy that was adopted to address division of land in this area that limits it to AL20 as a holding pattern, but they specifically said with the intention that applicants rezone to RR5, but nothing smaller. So they've addressed the board in looking at this. They do recognize there are smaller ones. There was considerable public testimony about concerns about going too small out there. But then there are contravening interests out there that, of course, would like to go smaller. But that was a decision in the direction from the board. That's why this is a bit unique in that it's got a little more background. The environmental documents were done as part of the board action. And there was the subsequent actions that were directed by the board, and it resulted in the applicant making this application, which is consistent with their policy and direction.
So did those parcels come before us, the ones to the north of the subject property?
Historically, in the past, I'm not sure how they were established. They may have been pre-MAP Act. I don't have the history on each of those parcels. They would come to you if they were going to do a rezone, but it's as they occur. They didn't do a blanket rezone to RR5. They did do a blanket rezone to AL20 as a holding pattern.
Okay. Any other questions?
It looks like here that you have a lot of the parcels, that's existing land use map, that's been divided into single-family residences, but then a lot of them are still vacant. So I can't. So you know when that was all done?
I don't.
That's all from Queens and Kings. The road's coming in, it looks like. But it just looks strange.
Yeah.
A bit.
Commissioner Carver, you had a question?
My question is that in the map that we're looking at right now, the proposed, what's the timeline? If this is proposed, has it been, it hasn't been voted on then?
No, this is the from the general plan. What's on the screen? This is where we're just showing that it was that it, the rural residential.
Okay, so this has been adopted in the general plan.
Correct.
Okay. But there's no timeline to just make all of this 5 acre.
No, the board did take the action to direct staff to make it all AL20 to unify it, but the individual rezoning of parcels are, as applicants put forward their proposal for development.
So why wouldn't it just be a director's signature instead of coming before us?
That's a decision they made. I really couldn't comment.
Okay.
Yeah. When did the board do the make it AL20?
That was back in June.
Mm-hmm. February.
April.
Wasn't it February of this year?
February. So.
Earlier this year. Yeah.
February 20th of this year, I believe.
Time's flying.
I have a question. Is there any requirement to improve the roadway on Reno? There is
a requirement. Reno roadway has some issues. There are two policy requirements that go hand in hand with this that were actually adopted as part of that policy. One is to look at the water issue, the supply issue, even though in whole it's been looked at, but on an individual basis they have to be looked at, as well as the sufficiency of the road and maintenance capacity. But that's done at the time of the lands division, and that's done then because if we do it now, we don't know if a parcel is going to be divided into two or eight pieces. The amount of number of parcels changes the loading and the demands, so you really can't do the analysis till you have the project that creates the impact to do that. So that is an existing requirement that's statutory. And when they go to do a parcel map or a track map, those issues get addressed.
So basically, we're looking at a mini subdivision. Future of this property could be 5 acres?
This one wouldn't be a subdivision because it wouldn't be four or more. It wouldn't be more than four parcels because they'd only end up with four. So it would be a parcel map if they ended up doing that. Yeah.
If both of those, we have the 15 acres and the 38 acres.
Yeah. Now, if the other one got divided, yes, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what they're doing.
What the applicants do in the future, we don't know. They may draw other parcels into the mix. Today, it's just a question about, is this zoning consistent with the general plan? Is there any reason why we wouldn't put it forward? It's a pretty basic question. It doesn't have all the information we need to make a determination on a final project because the projects aren't fully vetted yet.
Thank you.
Any other questions of staff? Commissioner Quist?
Yes. So it says this is half a mile north of the city limits of Fresno. Is it in the sphere?
No. It was not. It's north of the sphere.
Okay. And then just to clarify, on page 2, staff report, criteria, general plan designation, existing rural residential, or is that a misprint, or is that what it is, or is it AL20?
The zoning is AL20. The land use designation is rural residential. So the general plan designates it rural residential.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned that, and it is mentioned here that it is a water, low water area. Mm-hmm. So, bottom of page six, proposal will rezone the subject parcels to rural residential as the subject parcels have been identified within a low water area. Hydrogeological investigation will require to address Mm-hmm. Okay, sustainable water supply prior to any further division of the land. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? Smaller than five?
No, Andy, you can do a simple parcel map to split it. It would trigger that as well.
Okay. Okay. Under on page seven, staff report policy PF-C16. There's the word shall and the word may. Mm-hmm. Mr. Zonti's probably too young to remember the argument over what the definition of the word is, but I guess I'm a little disturbed by that, and I know we're not policymakers, but I like the word shall, mm-hmm. but the word may kind of leaves a lot of wiggle room, seems to me.
It does. You're right.
And in light of the area that it's in, water-wise, and what the North Kings GSA is faced with regarding mitigating domestic well loss, it still concerns me. But that's good. Thank you.
If I might just give you a little perspective. This action today changes the zoning, but it does not increase the ability to impact more demands. You're going to have the same traffic, you're going to have the same water because it doesn't divide the land. So you're still only allowed one house, second unit with a DRA. When they do the division, yes, then that increases. And again, that goes back to why the analysis for hydrology and road impacts is done at that point and not today. Nothing, unfortunately, I mean, sure, they would like to be able to walk out of today and be able to sell off parcels and build more homes, but that's not the case. When we have a project that's clearly defined and we can analyze it, that gets brought back through the process and we determine what the impacts is and if they're adequately mitigated.
And one other question or comment, and it's at the end of that discussion on PFC-16. It says, in addition, its implementation must occur prior to long-term and or irreversible physical impacts or significant economic hardship to surrounding water users. Does that mean they need to beat the other people to the punch, or what does that mean?
Well, it may mean... It's a hard thing. One of the general plan policies for any discretionary action is that we have to do an analysis that determines that, one, that there is adequate water supply, and two, that that will not adversely impact other existing uses, et cetera. You know, you got to have water if you're going to be able to build, and you can't create a situation where everyone's well is going to get dry. Very common issue and concern we hear repeatedly from the public. It's a real issue, particularly this area. And as you say, GSAs are trying to address those things. But it is something that you have to look at both on the macro and the micro. And you can do a localized well study, but you also have a larger water basin to look at. So people that are smarter than I and get paid much better than I do a lot of analysis and give us very good reports, and hopefully from that we make information available for you and the board to make good decisions. But we have to be at a point where we have a project that's defined adequately. Some of those projects could change over time. As you say, can you get yours first? If we have a cumulative impact, you know, things happen. The board recently, Tuesday, in addressing a water issue, did talk about the fact that they very much expect the community to step up and solve some problems. If we go back to the old days, when I had my 5-acre estate and I had it all in sod and a couple swimming pools on it and the, you know, mud hole for the hogs and everything else, today you can't sustain that water. You're probably taking 2-3 acre feet a year. You know, this isn't sustainable. But the county really isn't trying to get into everyone's back pocket and tell them exactly how to live, but they're really looking for the community to respond and come up with ways to reduce. And sometimes the, you know, state and other agencies do step in. But as time goes on, we will have to see what happens to the water table. That's why the GSAs were established. That's why it's a constant analysis of what's going on. So you'll probably continue to see Ken Schmidt's name on everything as he studies everything. He's a great source of information. But it is not something we can study and solve in an isolated thing. It is a cumulative impact. You're right.
Any other questions, comments? Thank you. Will the applicant please come forward?
Good morning, commissioners and county staff. My name is Elvia Lopez. I am here on representative of Central Valley Engineering and Surveying and representing a property owner who is also present here today. We are here before you today to approve the rezone for two existing parcels, rezoning them to an RR5 zoning. County staff mentioned, we are consistent with the general plan approved earlier on this year, and there is no detrimental issues in order to approve this here today. So once again, we would like to rezone the two existing lots to what is consistent with the general plan, which is the RR5. And I am open to any questions.
Any questions? Commissioner Quist?
Is it the applicant's intention to further develop this property, or is it just to have two homes on it?
At this time, the only retainer we have from the client is to develop his house. So there's no cookie cutters, no subdivision in place as of right now. It's just for his personal use. So no intention to add more and more homes on the property as of now.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Commissioners, my name is Ken Rajit Bhatt. I'm the owner of the property. I believe I can answer all of the questions you guys want to talk to about. Earlier, you guys were asking the way to get onto the property. As you can see, there's two properties, a 15-acre piece and a 40-acre, roughly. I'll call it a 40-acre piece. I think I know how to use one. One back? Okay. All right. So this is Reno Road. This is Aubrey down here somewhere. It connects. We come down this property, and then there's a gate here for these. This 20-acre parcel, I think, was split like in 1992. And I believe at that time, they may have been 40-acre parcels or whatever the limits were. So this is a 5-acre piece, a 5-acre piece, an odd-shaped 5-acre piece, a 5-acre piece, 5-acre piece, 5-acre piece, 5-acre piece, 5-acre piece. So down the line, they're all 5-acre pieces on this side. I believe this is this is like a 10, 10, 10, and then down the line, 5. Someone down here took a 5 acre and split it into two parcels, and then the community here got together. This was before I bought the property, and said, you know, we really don't want 2.5 acre lot parcels out here. So they're probably the spearheaded and got this approved, I guess, for rural designation of 5 acre pieces in February. When I bought the property, there was already a rule within the community guidelines that said we don't want any other parcel to be split into 5 acres. And there's a petition signed by almost all the property owners, even the property owner that owned it before I did. And so when that happened, they wanted to cement it further, in my opinion, and went to the county, the supervisors, and that's how they came up with this preset situation. I forget what it's called. My language is bad. And when I was sitting on you guys' seat maybe 7-8 years ago, sometimes the verbiage wasn't right, but I think the point of it is that they want the county general plan was amended or updated to make this a, you know, minimum rural 5 acre residential area. So that's kind of the belief of this. As far as a low water area, you know, there'll be questions. When I built I'm currently building my house. It's right there. Before I could build my house, they did a water study. You had to do a well report. At the time that I bought the property, I did not have there was not a well on the property. Well, actually, before I got into escrow, we drilled a well here. We drilled a well here. And when I started building the house, I drilled a well here. When I bought the property, I wanted to make sure there was water on the property. And from every indication, there was plenty of water. Now, that's not for me to decide. There will be studies, I'm sure, taking place when this happens. Any other questions?
No. Sir, where are you building your house right now?
Right here.
Okay.
Yeah, so Reno Road is an easement. It's a CSA. Each parcel pays into in our property taxes to maintain the road. I believe it is a private road that we hire the county to maintain, and then there's fees for that. That's the way that Reno Road behaves.
So your entrance is right where the two properties right there?
Meet right here.
Okay.
This isn't really a road. This is, I believe it's called Garone? I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But that's basically a dirt road in between here. Comes in up to here, and it's, you know, very lowly maintained road. We will not be coming this way. That's not the plan. But Reno Road, when this house was built, and this part of the, I think, I'm not sure if they're in the CSA, but when this house was built here, there was quite a bit of improvement along that road. So, and to my thought process, the neighbors would like it to be maintained well, but I'm not sure if they want it to widen any. As you get wider, people go faster. They want to kind of maintain a little on the narrow side so people maintain a slower speed. It's not a consensus, but that's my opinion to a lot of the neighboring people that we've spoke to.
Do you know when you did the water test or for the well, what was the GPA?
Gallons per minute?
Mm-hmm.
I was about 100 gallons per minute.
Commissioner Chris?
Along with that, you said you drilled two test wells?
Yes.
And then now you established one well?
Yes.
Okay.
But there are three wells.
Oh, there's three wells?
Right. So when I bought, before I bought the property in escrow, we drilled a well here and drilled a well here. When I started building my house, I drilled a well there. Each one of these is pumping about 100 gallons a minute.
Okay. How deep are they?
They're varying, but about 300, 350, somewhere in there. And elevation is 400 feet. Like, we're I guess, kind of in the hills.
Okay, and so you're building currently one home.
Correct.
But it's over both parcels.
I'm on this one here, and no, this is on the other property. You can't build on two.
Right. Well, I was confused by
right.
one of your points here on the operational checklist. So,
which one was that? I didn't read it fully, and it's tough to read all these things. But if there's an issue, we can surely address it.
So back to the question I asked the presenter just a moment ago, is it your intention to subdivide the rest of this parcel, these two parcels?
Probably not the rest of the parcel. My guess is we're probably going to split here and then have this for my brother, probably wants to build a house there. This 15-acre parcel, we would probably like to split into some. People have already come and asked me if, are you splitting? We would like that property is what they said. And I've told the neighbors all along up and down the street that, yeah, this will probably be the case.
So just a question. So it sounds like your neighbors are opposed to the development. They took steps beforehand to change it. Okay, and then now your intention is that you want to subdivide it so that you can put your brother's house, your house, and then other houses there at some point?
Well, as you can see, there doesn't seem to be any opposition here. Everybody was noticed. And I believe people that lived in this area before I bought the property took into their hands to say, we don't want 2-acre plots or a Monte Verde type of subdivision.
Yeah, just so you know, I'm in favor of it. I'm not trying to argue with you. I just am curious about what your intentions are. That's all.
Right. So
is that the goal, though?
Yes, to have this one and then me and my brother here.
I think we need to be careful on saying what are your intentions when this is an application for the rezone, because anything can happen. There's a whole list of what you can do on rural residential, and if he were to decide to sell the property, you could have someone come in and put a mill or something in there. I appreciate him sharing. I appreciate you sharing what your plans are, but this doesn't tie him down to that.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I think people are telling me to tread lightly. This is the situation. This is not a subdivision act. This is a rezone, which is, you know, going in as a recommendation from the board, not from the board, but the staff. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
He's being honest and trying to tell his attention, so he doesn't have no ill will in there. So that's what we are asking him. That led him to show his cards, show his attentions, but he doesn't have to. So I think he has said pretty much everything he wants to.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here to speak in opposition of this application? Thank you, Kenmore.
Thank you.
Seeing no one here in opposition, we will close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Motion's on page. Commissioner Chata.
I make a motion to do it as the staff recommended.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Chata to approve as recommended by staff.
I second that motion.
Second by Commissioner Whalen. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, we have one opposed and eight in support. So the motion carries. Okay, thank you. Item number three.
Regular agenda item number three, amendment to text application number 387, filed by Bill Stonehouse and Angela Paul, proposing to amend section 822.3.050, H1A and H1B of the Fresno County Zoning Ordinance relating to prohibitions on solid walls, fences, and hedges within the front yard setback for rural residential properties fronting the segment of the Sunnyside Avenue between East Knees and East Shepherd Avenues.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the Commission. Elise Alvarez here again from Public Works and Planning. So the subject area is along Sunnyside Avenue between Knees and Shepherd, essentially a 1 mile stretch. And here's just another visual of that. So the proposed amendment to text is condensed to this area alone. On the amendment to text, this is our proposed for you today with the county modifications. Essentially, it is the part that is underlined. On number two, that's also your exhibit three in there, and it mentions that it's for properties fronting the North Sunnyside Avenue, that 1 mile stretch that I previously mentioned. So staff recommendation is to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of this amendment to text with the modifications that previously mentioned and on Exhibit 3 of your packets.
Could you put that one map up? I don't think it's in our packet that showed where the applicants are.
That's just the makeshift I did for visual aid.
I'm sorry, would you
this get a little wasn't closer? This wasn't an official map. It's something I created for a visual aid for you guys here today.
Okay, so the applicants are requesting the change in the zoning ordinance, and it's going for a mile between the two, between
Shepherd and Knees.
Shepherd and Knees.
Yes, sir.
What's beyond that? Why is it not county? Is it not the trips are not as high? Is it why not go farther than that?
The applicants only wanted it within this 1 mile stretch.
So what's how far are they from Shepherd?
I don't know the exact feet, how far their homes are from Shepherd.
Okay. So right now the requirement limits, what's the limit on the front? Is it the solid wall that we're changing or the height limit?
It is
what's allowed right now in the front? 4 feet?
Yes.
Okay. So on exhibit one, you have in the rear and the side, it's already allowed. So this just allows them to go another 3 feet and have a solid wall hedge or fence in the front. And when they do this, is this right at the property line? For the most part, there's no issue with additional setback, or does it does the setback change or does it vary along that road?
And there is established setbacks for theirs. But I mean, each property doesn't have their own, but there is an established setback for theirs. And then if they're within, the fences have to have some type of visibility. That's what they were mentioning, that fences less than 70%, the visibility, if it's within that area.
Within the area of what, corners?
Within the setback.
Okay, so let's say at the intersection, Sunnyside or any of the other streets, Cole or any of the ones that are in there, those people that have property on what would be a corner lot, is the rule the same for them?
Corner lots are slightly different.
Are they different because they're not allowed to go to the 7 feet?
Well, because there's the corner cutoffs that they have to meet.
Okay. And is that specified in the zoning change, in the amendment, or is it just consistent? Does it not change that?
They still have to meet the street corners on. So part of our modifications for that is that to ensure the visibility, that they do need to adhere to the section of the zoning ordinance that mentions the corners that you're talking about, but that's section 822.3.100.E. So we didn't quote that whole section, but we do say that they have to.
Do you have what 822.3.100E says?
No, but we just basically are saying that whatever's there, we want to keep that provision there.
Okay. Any other questions of staff?
Just a quick question. Were any letters of support or opposition received?
So the applicants are representing a few of their neighbors. So they have had a few neighbors. They didn't want to list all of them on the application, so we condensed it to two of the neighbors, and that's why there's only two neighbors on the application. I don't know the names of all the neighbors that are for it. There was a few phone calls, but nothing in writing as far as support.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So in making the recommendation, a lot of it was based on, or the reason is noise and traffic, from what I read. Would this open it up for other neighborhoods if they have similar situation on other busy streets to do the same, to request the same? And is there a limit then on how far they go? I mean, had the applicant gone 2 miles instead of 1 mile, does that make a difference?
If I might, it is a legislative process, and the argument might be made in other locations. It would be evaluated any time a proposal is brought forward. You make a good point that, you know, similar to sort of like a variance, how is this different than some other place? The applicants have articulated their particular concern with their location, and this is what they're asking for. That does not inhibit or limit somebody else from making the exact same or different request.
This wouldn't set a precedent necessarily, but it could just
not a legal
be a good
precedent,
argument
no.
for somebody, right? Okay.
Maybe a trend, but not.
Any other questions of staff? Commissioner Quist?
Staff report, page 3. City of Clovis provided comments and expressed concern with structures being placed within the ultimate planned right-of-way. Are they presently in the right-of-way? This, where they're wanting to place these, or
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear the last part.
I don't think they're in the right-of-way and would be in the right-of-way at this time. When they say ultimate planned right-of-way, that's
okay.
That's down the line. Is that correct, right, staff? I mean, they could put the 4-foot wall or fence there now.
Yeah. Yeah. To be correct, if I can clarify, so Clovis, the other side of the street, does have a planned area that has a 7-foot limit, but it's not necessarily apples to apples. Their provisions are slightly different.
Well, my point was that Ken pointed out within the ultimate plan right of way. So, right.
And Clovis designates this street as a collector, which is a 60-foot right of way for them. County designates as a collector, which is 80 to 84 feet.
Okay.
We have slightly different standards, but we're consistent in terms of the concept of the use of the road.
Any other questions? Commissioner Carver?
Along that line, so just south of Nice is Clovis, and as you're driving there, you see side yard fences are 7 foot. What is the height limit on front yard fences in Clovis? Did you just say that? Miss that?
I'm not.
The city of Clovis is up to 7 feet.
It is up to 7 feet
for the city. It is 7 feet a maximum.
No, the front yard fence is not side yard. Is it 7 feet?
The front yard. Oh, well, okay. If it's within that plant, so the city of Clovis is this particular area is within the Dry Creek Preserve. So essentially, that's the only one I looked at, and their requirement is 7 feet. So the height is maximum is 7 feet for that area. Now, I don't know specifically if it's all the way down south of Nice, but essentially the area within that area, it's 7 feet if you're within the city.
Okay. So this would be consistent with what's
correct
on the other sides of the street.
Okay. There's 6 properties that are non-conforming that don't meet the standards. That's why they're asking for the change. I assume they're at 4 feet right now on your section 8 here.
Yes, so there is currently some fences and walls that are non-conforming per county standards, and that's was some of the reason why the neighbors came.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
The applicant come forward, state your name and address for the record, if you would.
Good morning. My name is Mona Omar, and I am representing my husband, Bill Stonehouse, who's a county employee. And so I'm going to be speaking on our behalf, and then Angela will be speaking. I wanted to give you a little bit of background, and maybe I could sort of answer a few of those questions. Our particular property was built in 1971, and my husband has occupied that home since 1989. Now, this area has been known as the old historical Dry Creek Preserve in Fresno County. Our block wall that we have has had drive gates, and off-road accessibility has been in place for approximately 20 years. Now, yes, we have gone higher and higher with that block wall as traffic has increased and our safety issues have become a real problem. Our property and this area was zoned for agriculture in the late 1970s, and later it was rezoned as residential, rural residential by the County of Fresno, with many residents currently in our neighborhood having livestock like chickens, horses, goats, donkeys, and we even have some llamas. The character of that area now has changed quite drastically during the past decade with all the changes, and we've now been adopted under, they call it, the sphere of influence for the city of Clovis. The city of Clovis will most likely soon annex this property, and then zoning and our property and all of the neighboring land will again change. What was once very rural is quickly becoming very urban. We would like to remain at that residence. We're interested in preserving the best quality of life that we can have. We believe that our existing 6-foot high wall provides us for a better situation for our security and does a better job reducing the noise level than any 3-foot wall could possibly handle. The traffic and noise has become almost nonstop due to the new growth to the north and the travel pattern to the highway 168 to our south. There's no traffic control or signs that regulate, and it's the 45 miles per hour zone. Recent traffic count and speed evaluation completed in December of 2023 identified traffic speed of up to 70 miles per hour with a traffic count of approximately 10,000 vehicles traveling on Sunnyside over a 7-day period. I personally have learned to maneuver my car in the driveway to turn around so I can go out straight without backing up, because there's just at times no way I can do that. There are approximately 1,200 additional homes being built or slated to be built off of Shepherd and Sunnyside, which means that traffic has the potential to increase by 3 to 4 times the number of houses being built. And it's likely going to create more safety issues, traffic, accidents, and of course, noise. Directly across from our house, there is a driveway entrance that is 24-foot wide asphalt roadway constructed for 2 lanes of traffic that will allow ingress and egress from the newly constructed City of Clovis subdivision. Our neighbors, who are the homeowners, are actually currently using that, which is supposed to be an emergency exit. We believe that at some point that will be open to the public, and there will be additional hazard conditions that we'll have to work with. Looking ahead, because we are all concerned, Sunnyside may someday be widened and improved either by the City of Clovis or a residential developer who's required to do so. Now, the timing of these improvements, we don't know, and Fresno County has no plans to widen that street, but this is talk of the neighborhood. We're all concerned that that could be a possibility down the road. We've had several trees in our front yard hit. Our neighbors have had several incidences, and Angie will speak to that. Our next door neighbors sent over this picture today. This was less than a month ago. Oh, very nice. What you see or don't see is a smashed mailbox, and that is a power source to, I believe, cable TV or something. This was just less than a month. Most of these accidents, by the way, or occurrences don't get reported. So you can pull up and say, well, we've only had this many accidents reported. I'm telling you, most of them are not reported. No one's calling and complaining. Our request, along with the homeowners on Sunnyside, is that we be allowed to have at least a 7-foot front wall, fence, or a hedge constructed for our safety, our security, and for the noise abatement. Another thing I would like to mention is that we are also a part of the Dry Creek Master Plan, which was submitted to the City of Clovis. That allows for a minor collector street, which we are, to have hedges, walls, and fences for our safety and noise. It's part of the Dry Creek Master Plan. I'm just going to hold this up. It's just a document that states can have those that I've just mentioned. And the City of Clovis planners were part of the ones that went over this information. We've asked the City of Clovis, in addition to you, for support of our request because of the following being under the sphere of influence. And we've also signed a pre-annexation agreement with the City of Clovis due to the fact that we are going to be annexed at some point and, again, are part of this Dry Creek plan. The main thing that I want to say is that we really want to preserve our quality of life. We're concerned for our safety, our children's safety, our grandchildren's safety, and that's pretty much what we're asking. The reason we did the houses up to Shepherd, I think that was one of your questions, is because there are several on that street that do have non-compliant fences. If truth be told and you want to circle the neighborhood, there's lots of them in the whole area. But we can only manage our one little area, and we're very concerned because we don't have any stop signs. So maybe we are in a different set of circumstances. Angela is going to come up. She's the other applicant, and she's going to speak about some specific situations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Angela Paul. I live at 8131 North Sunnyside. Me and my family have homesteaded there for about 17 years. Been there a long time, seen a lot of changes happen in our neighborhood. We have a great neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood to raise your family, and it has been very safe until recently. I submitted a packet with you guys. I don't know if you all got them.
Thank you.
But my specific situation is a little bit different. Could you put that slide up that she had that kind of showed where my house is, where the two applicants were on Sunnyside? So I am the first, one, the little larger one. Is this it right here? So this is my house right here. And this is a four-way stop sign right here. We've had almost 16 to 17 accidents that I have personally been aware of. Myself and several people that live on Sunnyside are all retired first responders. I'm retired law enforcement. So what has happened, and I'm going to show you some pictures. What happens is the cars come up, we are a two-lane road, and we have so much traffic now, and as they're speeding, when they hit the stop sign, another car goes around, right around where my place is, and another car or neighbor pulls out, there's nowhere for that car to go. So we have cars passing 70, 80 miles an hour, and when another car pulls up, they crash into our yards, into our fences, almost 60 feet into my front yard. I'm going to show you the pictures. I have built three different types of fences that all fall into the county's scope. Let me show you. This is what we started with. This will make it just easier. So when I first moved in my house, this was my fence. You can see it's a 2x6 wooden fence, falls into the county code, no issues. As traffic started getting worse and worse and worse, this fence was hit 4 times. The third time this fence was hit, I don't have a current picture of it, we had horses up here. So in the middle of the night, I'm getting phone calls from my neighbors, and me and all my neighbors are chasing our horses up and down Sunnyside, all the way over down knees. Nobody stopped. We had to replace the fence. So then we switched over to our second fence. This was our temporary fence. So now we put T-posts up, I have paneling up, and we have a hot wire that runs across there, and we have gates. And if you can see, I'll show you a better picture. See the telephone poles? We even put the telephone poles there to stop them from hitting our trees. This was 2 months after they took out my first fence, they took out this fence. Same problem. Then we went to the cost of putting in a welded fence. And as you know, this is very expensive to have this type of fence put in. In 6 months, this fence was hit and taken out, along with 4 trees in my front yard. After that fence was hit, I had to borrow panels from the neighbors to keep our livestock in. So this is my temporary fence. So when they took out the other fence and came through here, see the big hole in my barn? And a big hole over here. The car actually shot through here. See, my gates are gone. My gates are gone. My fence is gone. And the car is sitting in the middle of my barn. So this is our third effort. You know, we have contacted the city. We contacted the county. And me, I'm very pro neighborhood. We contacted, who do we get help from? We're in the sphere of influence. The sheriff doesn't have time to do this. And let's face it, the sheriff does not do traffic. CHP does it for them. The city doesn't have time to deal with us because we're really not in their area. They're right up here on the corner. After this fence was taken out, this is what my fence, this is what our front yard looked like. Now, how do my grandkids and my children play in my front yard after we've had four fences taken out, a corner of my barn, and four of my big trees taken out? So we try to problem solve ourselves. So we saved money for almost 6 years. So now, this is my fence today. $100,000 wall in the front of my house. My house is not a fancy house. My house is maybe a $200,000 house when they built it. My wall was worth more than my house. But since I put the house, since I put this wall up, we can sleep at night. We don't hear the traffic. My grandkids can play in my front yard. And it has solved all of our problems that we cannot get help from the county or from the city to solve. And the reason I'm here today is because when I put my wall up, I got a ticket from the county. Showed up to the house. We need to talk to you about your wall. I said, okay, you can't have that wall. You need to take that wall down. You can only have a 3-foot wall. I said, sir, with all due respect, I've had three of those walls. I've asked for your help. It's not safe for us to live here anymore. The city is changing around us. We understand that. We're coming to you guys today. We need your guys' help. You know, me and Bill and this gentleman right here, we put the $8,000 up to be here in front of you today. You know, we need to get this passed where we can keep these walls. We have these houses getting built. You guys ask the question, why is it only our corridor? Where Renee's starts, we have all the new subdivisions, the Gary McDonald homes. And the reason why I have this wall, because I went down there and I talked to the contractor. I said, you know this wall you're building for him? Can you build a wall in front of my house so my family can be safe like all these guys are? And that's how we ended up with this wall. And then if you go down to where Shepherd is, where Shepherd stops, there's no more wool houses past there. It's all the new, I'm not sure what contractor's building, but it's all new homes going in there. So our stretch of our road is where this traffic is flying through there. If you go down Fowler, you got the school there. You got the stoplights there. Cars can't shoot through there 70, 80 miles an hour. The kids are not shooting through there to try to get to school or to try to rush back and forth from the house to the freeway. If you go down Fowler, Fowler has a very similar problem that we have. Our two streets, Sunnyside and Fowler, they're fast. If you're in a hurry, those are the two streets that you hit because there's no stop from Shepherd all the way through to Knees. So that's why I'm here in front of you today. A lot of our neighbors, we've already taken and tried to make our homes secure. We're asking you guys, please help us keep the quality of life that we have enjoyed in our neighborhood for years. We understand things are growing around us. We just need the option to protect our family, protect our livestock, and protect our way of life. That's it. That's simple.
Angela, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it was the third slide that you showed. Could you put that back up?
Sure. What was it, a picture of?
Well, it showed the road. It showed the, was it a barn or a building that you said was hit? That might be it. Upside down, though. Okay, show more of the bottom of the picture, if you would, slide it up. Is that Sunnyside there?
That was the fourth construction.
Yeah, this is Sunnyside when they had tore out all the road.
Okay.
Not that long ago.
Okay, but now it's paved. And
Now it's paved.
Now it's a speedway.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Then on the picture that showed your nice fence, the expensive one.
Yes, sir.
How far is that from the road?
My fence from the road, I believe, is 25 feet.
Okay, so it's pretty much you're close to the road when you took that picture?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, this picture that you're looking at of my house, this is from the inside of my gates.
Okay, well, I was wondering about
this,
that.
Okay,
then.
So this is from the inside of my
house. That's the inside, yeah.
To try to stand in the middle of Sunnyside and take a picture from the outside is not safe.
Okay. How far?
So that's why you get the picture from the inside.
How far is that from the road then?
Our fence, when the contractor came in, we are, I think, 24, 25 setback from our line.
You're at the setback line.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That explains.
That was my question.
And then our gates are actually even farther back.
So you don't have any other issues. If this is approved today, you are in full conformance. You
except
have no
for the height of, except for the height of my wall. That's
but
what
that,
I'm trying
to. This would
for.
Take care of that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is that correct, staff? That would take care of it, her issue?
So it's in conformance right regarding the distance from the road.
Right. That's,
yes.
Okay.
And the height would also be in compliance, correct?
Yes.
Staff, is that
on it?
I don't think we have the particulars, but it appears from the statements made that that would be correct.
But okay.
We haven't seen site plans or measurements, so we're a little hesitant to make any promises.
That's good enough. It appears that it's fine. Okay, thank you very much.
Sorry, I do have a question. Has anyone hit your fence as constituted now?
Nope. We have had absolutely no issues since.
Is that because it's further back? Have there been more they've skidded by, or is there?
No.
Because it seems like they could still hit them.
Yeah, right.
Well, the option of them still hitting the fence, absolutely, they can hit the fence. But remember, we didn't put that fence up then for them not to hit it. I put that fence up for when my grandkids are sitting out here by that fence, or I'm walking out to my mailbox right. And they hit that fence, that I get a chance to get out of the way and not get killed. I mean, I can show you picture after picture. I mean, that's just too many times in one house to have cars shooting through your house. That's just too much. It's super unsafe.
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak before the commission?
So, sounds like we should stop. We're going to stop.
And I just ask if the new speaker to try to limit your testimony to something new, because I think we're moving right along.
Bill Stonehouse. I'm representing myself as a citizen, not as a county employee. I was the resident engineer on the construction of Sunnyside Road for Steve White when we did this project. And to clarify some things, the master plan for the city of Clovis, that is a minor collector road that is to remain like it is for the future. Just to clarify, I know the questions that you guys had. So other than that, I just wanted to, any other questions that you had concern of anything else. We are on our property boundaries. Everything is built on our property, not on that right away. So.
Very good, thank you. Okay. Anyone else wish to speak in support?
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Norman Morris, and I'm one of the neighbors. I'm actually here to speak on behalf of several other neighbors who are all in support. We support this. The mailbox picture that you saw earlier, that's my mailbox. What you're not seeing in that, What you're not seeing, and actually Mona was a little bit incorrect, we had to put in a new mailbox within the last month. This happened on July 2nd between approximately 5:15 and 7 a.m., same point in time when people would be walking on the street. This was a hit and run. What you're not seeing out of that picture is that mailbox was set on about a 4-inch pipe, approximately 4 feet in the ground. They knocked that out, totally. They flattened my mailbox. My mailbox is flat. They drove completely over it. It was a hit and run. And you can see the pipe. They broke the weld where the crossbeam had been. We're not the only ones that have had this happen. To the home, approximately 2 to 3 south, I believe actually 2 south, they have a brick wall, approximately 2.5-3 foot high, that has been run into and damaged where they've had to rebuild it 2 to 3 times in the last 6 to 7 years by hit and run drivers. I have a 6-foot wrought iron fence. I have no sense of security with that fence. I have children who play in the yard. I have no sense of security for them. Sunnyside, and I believe the comment earlier was the right-of-way was 80 to 120 feet. That's incorrect. Sunnyside is a right-of-way of 40 feet. That is all it will ever be built out to be. That is all the county has. In order to go wider, you will have to do eminent domain. The county did not accept the additional offers that were made at the time, and they have since lapsed by operation of law. They lapsed about 25 years ago. So Sunnyside is built out as far as it will be built. It will never get wider. It will never be wider. In addition to that, it can't go wider because there are PG&E easements on the side. There are power poles running down the street. So it will never go wider. This is as wide as it will be. It is not being used as a collector. That's what, as Bill said, it was a minor collector. That's what it was intended for. We're not. Last night at approximately 8:40, I timed it because I was out front working. I was having a car, at least one car, come by approximately every 30 seconds. This morning, 8 o'clock, one car every 8 seconds. That is what our traffic has been. The traffic study that Mona alluded to, what she didn't point out, that study showed that since the neighboring developments have occurred, our traffic has tripled in nearly 7 years. It's a tripling of traffic with the noise that goes with it. We are all concerned about it. And some of the things that you were talked about, I believe the code currently states a 3-foot high solid wall 6 foot if it's open 80% or more. We are asking for it to be 6 to 7 foot solid wall in order for us to have the quiet enjoyment of our property and have our safety. There was a comment earlier talking about some of the other ones and some of the setbacks. I believe one of the commissioners made the comment about, for example, on coal. Those properties are allowed to have a 6 foot block wall, 6 foot solid wall under the current code because that is not their front yard. Their front yard comes off of coal. So you could have the situation, for example, if you could put up the picture coming down. Thank you. This house, for example, could have a 6 foot wall there. They don't, but they could because I believe their entrance is off of here. This house could have a 6 foot wall. This house could have a 6 foot wall because their entrances are off of teak. And in fact, one of these homes, I believe it's one of the homes, possibly this one right here, does have a 6 foot block wall along Sunnyside because its entrance is off the street here. It's off of coal. So as you go further north, the question is also what's further north? Further north is the new developments, the large developments that are all using our street, which traffic's all being steered onto our street. Those are all 6 foot walls. To the south, what do you have? 6 foot walls in the city. So that's the difference. We're asking for basically nothing more than what is already going on all the way around us. The EVA issue, that's a separate issue. That's across the street from us. That is supposed to only be opened when there's development to the north or south of the immediate properties. We don't know if that'll ever happen. But that's the concern. We have the concern on this. I can tell you, for example, there's been questions, and county has talked about wanting to have the 18-foot setback, although I also saw 20-foot, I think, in something, for gates. The county wants to require it. That can probably be worked with, but I will tell you it's not going to make a difference. It doesn't make a difference now. I was at the board, and county council, who's here, was there as well. I believe she might have left beforehand. I was at the board, I believe, in January of this year, speaking about the safety issues on Sunnyside. And I talked about the fact that I have been almost broadsided 5 times at that point in time in a year, turning left into my driveway by vehicles going north on Sunnyside, passing me over a double yellow line well in excess of speed limit. That evening, or that afternoon, after I spoke at the council meeting or the supervisor meeting, I was almost broadsided again. As of this point in time, in the last 13 months, I've been almost broadsided about 10 to 11 times pulling into my driveway by cars. That is what we are facing on Sunnyside. That is why we are asking for these fences, these walls. These are people, we hear people at night doing 70, 80 plus. It's a nice smooth road. There is a stop sign at Knees and nothing further until you get to Shepherd. So it's wide open and they take it as a speedway. Yesterday afternoon, while again in my front driveway, I almost witnessed a head-on collision caused by someone passing to the left over the double yellows in front of my house. That, as Angie pointed out, when that happens, they have one spot to go into our driveways, into our front yards, into our houses. The people that have almost collided with me, and the reason I mentioned being almost broadsided, every time that has happened, the people have had to almost go into my fence and into my front yard to avoid hitting me with my children in the car. Some of them have ended up in my driveway. Some of them have almost come within inches of taking out my wrought iron fence. That's the reality of what we're facing. I have people parking on my front lawn normally as part of this. We have people turning around. The street has changed. That's why you will find that I believe every neighbor is in support of this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have a question.
Certainly.
Have you asked the county to put a stop sign in Teague?
We have been for, I don't want to get into it too much, but for about 8 years, 8 to 9 years, we've been engaged in discussions with the county about traffic calming measures and what they can do. We have been told a stop sign is an absolute non-starter, will never happen. Flat out will not happen at Teague. We have been told speed bumps, flat out, will not happen. The only thing they have said that they would be willing to do is explore a traffic calming measure of narrowing the roadway at Teague, which will do nothing except cause further problems. The current thing that we had a meeting in May, early May of this year, between the city, the county, the homeowners over the safety issues and the fence issues came up as well. And it was the same thing. That won't happen. Stop sign won't happen. Speed bumps won't happen. We'll explore a roundabout. And now it's, well, we don't have the space to do a roundabout, which goes towards the width, the right-of-way width. There's not enough right-of-way to do a roundabout there. So we are a speed zone for people coming through. And part of the problem is, and this may be coming up in the future, I believe that stretches of Sunnyside either currently meet or will very shortly meet a resident speed zone, which under California law is 25, which will be problematic for everyone involved because you'll still have people doing the speed and you'll have even more issues. So that's not your issue as the Planning Commission, but that is kind of the broader spectrum of what it is we are facing as we're out on Sunnyside. And we all do have horses, and that's, as Angie pointed out, that's another thing with it. We have people on Sunnyside who run a Stabby, who some of you may know, has a vet business with trailers pulling in and out. We live five homes down from Stabby, and we don't feel safe to walk our horses down there anymore. We trailer them five homes to get to his place because of the traffic and the safety issues. Commissioner Borchardt?
One more question. Are you okay with Exhibit 3, the staff's recommendations on everything?
Group? I'm okay with the recommendations. I mean, I have some concerns about the setback, knowing where exactly it would be measured from, because they do zig in and out as you come down Sunnyside due to the amounts that were granted at different times. It's not as solid from the edge of the street back a certain amount, for example, or from the center back a certain amount. It does vary because Sunnyside is an older road, and there have been dedications that have varied in width, is my recollection, as you come down Sunnyside. So that would be one concern with setting back where the fences are or the gate entrances are. But again, as I pointed out, we can live with that if necessary, but I don't think that's going to solve the traffic issues or the safety issues of concern about, you know, getting out of the way, because people already don't. I don't have a gate that's working right now, and people already don't. My gate, I currently do have a gate that I could turn on at any time, and I don't believe it would be within the setback requirements that the county is proposing.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dean Yerick, 8570 North Sunnyside. I'm in favor of this. My property is this property right here. I know you guys, I would love to have a stop sign right here. Yes, that would be fantastic if they could put a stop sign right here, because they are flying through here very, very fast. When I leave my driveway, I make sure it's clear. I'm going down, heading towards into Clovis. I have cars coming up on coming up alongside me, trying to pass me over the double yellow line. I turn on my left-hand blinker. They have to slam on their brakes. They're thinking I'm turning. Okay, my other choice is to speed up over the speed limit that they're doing, then they can't pass me. I just had, beginning of this month, I got a videotape. I have a Tesla. You got cameras on these cars like mad. I have a videotape of a, I thought it was Clovis cop, but it was a sheriff. Unmarked Ford SUV. Come alongside me, passing me up, across the double yellow line. I thought, well, maybe he's code 3. No lights on, no nothing. And once he passed me up, he slowed down. So like he was not even code 2 and everything. With several times, I told my wife, car come alongside you, coming up behind you really fast, turn on your blinker. We do have a lot of accidents out there. Since I've been out there that I know of, and I have pictures on my phone of accidents right here at Teague and Sunnyside. The last one, a lady was going this way in an SUV. She made a left-hand turn. Two infants, they were like less than 2 months old. Vehicle coming this way, don't know who was speeding, what was going on, T-boned her right here and everything. Very bad accident.
I think everyone's done a great job of establishing that there's a traffic problem on Sunnyside. And And I think they've also done a good job on explaining.
Yes, like I say, I'm in favor of the fence. Okay. I'm in favor of this is 45 miles an hour. We need to definitely just drop the speed limit down. And if we could put a stop sign there, that would be fantastic.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for motion on page 4 and discussion if necessary.
I'll move to approve the recommended motion by staff.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Zante to approve the application as recommended by staff with the conditions, and a second by Commissioner Chata. Is there any discussion?
I just want to say that I appreciate the hard work and the community that has come together and communicated well together and advocated for their neighborhood at all the different levels. So I just want to say keep going to create, to help continue to create a safe community for yourselves and our entire city. I think, you know, I work every day to help create better and safe communities. And, you know, this is one small piece. It's one step. But I think you guys are on the right track with addressing the traffic, addressing, you know, all the different pieces of this. So thank you for spending the time and the energy. I know it's years, and I know you've put in your own money to bring this application forward and to just get one small step done for your community. So thank you for working on behalf of your entire community.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries 9-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see, item number 4 has been postponed. Is that to a date certain? Or it doesn't matter yet?
No, I don't believe it
okay.
is.
Yes.
Is it?
It is. In November 14th, okay.
Oh, yes it is. I'm sorry.
Any information or discussion from staff?
You should have all received an email with a link to a draft EIR and final EIR for the Sunrisa project. We try to get those out to you early when we can because they're a little thick. And so it gives you a little more time to review it. Obviously, you'll be getting the corresponding staff report in the normal process, which but that'll give you an opportunity to review it. The draft report obviously has been out for several months before. The final report just reflects any responses to comments that have been made by the public on the draft.
This is for the
14th. This is for the 14th, correct.
But you've sent us the email already.
Yes. If for some reason you don't want to use a link and you'd prefer us to give you a thumb drive, let Joseph know and be glad to do that as well.
Troublemaker.
We only have 5.5-inch floppies, but you know.
Commissioner Chata, were you saying something?
Yeah. You want to attend it or not?
If, as long as you promise to come back.
No. Okay, he's coming back then, right?
I don't know. Am I?
I don't think so.
Have we heard about his status?
I haven't heard anything yet. So.
Nobody knows about his status.
I think it's been a long time, yeah.
I heard there was going to be samosas, that's what I heard.
I moved to
Okay, it's a final then. Thank you.